Everyone, it's Adam again from Uberbot 24 with my 22nd stop-off on the Welcome to Scotland series. I'm into the second half of the journey now. I'm on the way home. It's been great so far. It's been a great first half, and I've come to one of the, I have to say for me, one of the iconic clubs in Scotland today. I've come over, well, I'll let you know where I am a little bit later, but I'm in Ayr. Ayr United, and I'm sat here with Scott Kirkpatrick. Scott, good evening to you, first of all. How are you doing over there, mate?
Good evening, Adam. Thanks for inviting me. Yeah, I'm doing fine. How's yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm doing absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Been enjoying the winter months, shall we say?
Yes.
Got to explain to people, we've had a lot of snow in Ukraine today, so we were just joking about that off air beforehand. But before we kick off the episode, as always, a big thank you to Stel at Shoot the Defence for giving me the platform to put out this series on Scottish football. It's been a great journey of discovery so far, and we look forward to learning more about Ayr United tonight. But I suppose, first of all, Scott, I mean, what's your role at the club? Will you let the listeners know?
Oh, my role at the club is stadium announcer. I'm lucky enough to be very fortunate to get into the stadium at the moment, into games, as the clubs do need stadium announcers. I've been doing that on and off for X amount of years. I used to work at the club years ago on the commercial side of things. And that's how I'd like to get involved. The people who used to do the PA were slightly not that good at it, and they were stuttering through teams, etc. And then one day I'd mentioned it to the commercial manager, so he'd sorted something out at the start of the next season with myself. I started off playing the music, and another guy came in, John. He'd done all the trackside stuff. I'd done that for a few years, and then I got asked to come back after I left to go to another job, which I worked Saturdays with. So I've been back somewhere 2004, 2005. First, it was, again, just doing the music and then helping out with mascots, ball persons, etc. And for the last 6 years or so, I've been doing the stadium announcing.
It must be, I say, you've certainly seen a lot over the years. Must be quite surreal announcing in an empty stadium at the moment. How do you adapt to match days since?
It's very strange because I heard your podcast with Kieran from Alloa a couple of weeks ago, and he's virtually the same. Normally, if it'd been normal, I arrive at 1 o'clock, just after one, get everything set up, and then about 1:45 start playing music because that's when the gates open. But now you've got to go through all the rigmarole of I got an email on the Friday, and I fill in a questionnaire on the Saturday morning, to make sure I've not had any symptoms, etc. And then I arrive at Somerset 2:15 now. Get my temperature taken, get a lanyard. I'm allowed to go into a certain area, which is the orange, the sort of amber zone. I go into my little PA room, and I'm not allowed to move from there, whereas before I'm allowed to go virtually anywhere. But I've got to stay in that wee area, and that's me until the end of the game. But it is surreal announcing teams, etc., to about 30 people sitting in the stand instead of the usual 2,500 that normally turn up at Somerset on a Saturday or every second Saturday. So it is strange, it really is. But as I say, I'm one of the lucky ones that can get in at the moment, you know. So I'm fortunate at that, and I'm kind of grateful to the club because I must admit I didn't think at the start of the season they were going to go down that route. But then I got a text message about a week before saying, we're allowing you in. Because normally there's another guy there as well that does it with me.
Yeah.
But they only want one person in. So, you know, I was quite fortunate I get picked. So, you know, that way. But no, as I say, it is strange. It's so surreal at the moment. And hopefully the fans get back. I'm probably looking at next season now. The quicker the fans get back, the better. Because there's just no atmosphere whatsoever.
It certainly is. This, I've got to say, just as an aside before we push on, this is my first season doing opposition scouting, and I so I'm watching tons of matches without fans in. And there was one game I watched earlier this year at Weymouth against Halifax where they'd allowed fans in, and having to concentrate on the game when you've got all the noise of the supporters in the background, it's going to be completely different ball game once they're back in again. It's really
it'll be brilliant when the fans do get a back in.
They are part of the club that has been sort of royally ignored almost during these times. They're the people who are certainly suffering the most within the football industry.
Yeah, they are.
Well, for people who, shall we say, don't know Scotland as well as someone like yourself, Scott, can you just help them out a little bit? Where is air?
Where is air?
Air is all around us, and we know that.
Yeah. Air is spelled A-Y-R. is 35 miles south of Glasgow, city out of the Ayrshire coast. We are probably famous for Robert Burns's cottage, which my house is about a 25-minute walk away from that. So we've got some lovely scenery around there, especially in a nice summer's day. Even the winter's day, it's nice. Yeah, it's about 35 miles south of Glasgow. Used to be classed as sort of seaside town, maybe not as much now. There was a kind of Butlins years ago, but it's now Haven. But it used to be, you know, a sort of seaside town where everybody used to come for a sort of week's holiday or a few days holiday. Maybe not as much now because it's sort of, the town's kind of dwindled away a wee bit. I suppose like a Villa High Street, you know, it's like every second shop's empty, and the South Ayrshire Council aren't exactly great at sort of modernising, you know, sort of helping businesses get to town, you know, maybe bringing more business into town, etc. But no, it is a lovely town. It can be, you know, more so in the summer when the weather's a lot better. And so we're most famous for, you know, Robert Burns. I'm sure everybody's heard of Robert Burns. Yeah. As I say, we're fortunate enough to stay about 25 minutes walk away from there. But no, that's how I can sort of describe it. There's not really much else I can really say about it.
It is. It's over there on the west coast, isn't it?
Yeah, no, west coast. Yeah,
down from Glasgow a bit.
You're about 35 miles south of Glasgow on the M77.
Who are your local rivals down there?
Kilmarnock is 12 miles up the road. They are that's for local team, although we have got Stranraer, who's 50 miles further south than us, and also Queen of the South, which is in Dumfries, it's another 50 odd mile away as well. You know, I think they kind of class us as rivals, but Kilmarnock's our biggest rivals.
Well, you must be enjoying that at the moment. They're my, and I've got to say, they're my tip to go down. So people can't hear.
Well, they've just appointed a new manager on Tommy Wright, so hopefully he doesn't do that great. I mean, he done wonders with St Johnstone, fair play to him. But hopefully he doesn't do much this season. And, you know, we make a few Ayrshire derbies next season again. But no, as I say, it would be brilliant because we played them, the last time we played them was in 2017. It was live in BT Sport, first game of the League Cup, and we beat them 1-0, and there was like 7,500 that night in South Somerset. So it's pouring with rain. It was the middle of July, typical Scottish weather, you know, pouring with rain. And, you know, it was absolutely brilliant. You know, we won 1-0, and, you know, it was a good night.
Oh, I could imagine. I can only imagine. It'd be superb. And I've got to say, with the way Ayr are performing, there's a chance of just an outside chance of the playoffs if you keep the good form going. And you could pass each other.
Yeah, we could, yeah. I mean,
playoff final, I can see it now.
That would be brilliant. That would be brilliant, a playoff final between us and Kelly. as I say, you never know. Obviously, this season, you know, it's strange, as mentioned earlier on. We signed practically half a new team. So they're still bedding in together. But no, we've had a few decent results. We've had a bit of a wobbly patch. We were unlucky the other night against Hearts on Friday night. We should have really got a draw there. But obviously the game got called off early against Dundee, so we're away on Saturday again to Raith. So hopefully pick up a few points and push ourselves back in the playoff spot, and who knows?
No, you really don't. That's the great thing, and it's one of the things I'm coming to love about Scottish football. It's, you know, once you take away the top four, everyone is so closely combined that anyone can beat anybody. You mentioned there, I'm going to jump around a little bit on the questioning, so please forgive us on that. You mentioned Somerset, of course, a few times there. Now, it is, and we you know, we have to say, I'm no bias here at all. It is one of the iconic grounds of Scottish football. But why? What is it that makes it so iconic? And it does when, and I'm going to put my groundhopper hat on, it is one of those that people say you have to go and see a game at Somerset.
Somerset's as iconic as you say. It's probably no change much in 40 odd years. But the away fans love it. Our fans love it. Well, most of the away fans love it. You know, and they prefer coming to Somerset instead of, you know, the kind of more modern day stadiums. The atmosphere when the ground's reasonably full is, for me, second to none. And our end is traditional Somerset Road end, which is a home end. We like shooting down that way the second half. We fair shooting down that way the second half. The place is just bouncing. It's absolutely buzzing in there. And you know, it's a cracking wee ground. I mean, it holds just over 10,000 people. So hopefully we never move from Somerset. There was talk a few years ago about it, but thankfully that never materialised. So hopefully, you know, we never move from Somerset, and chance to get it redeveloped, even, you know, just maybe no all-seater, but, you know, maybe a kind of lick of paint, etc. Maybe a new roof in the North Terrace would make it even better. But you know, it's one of football's iconic stadiums, and it is absolutely brilliant to go there every second Saturday and watch here.
I've got to ask you, and a bit cheeky of me, as you know, match day announcer and things, you know, in that role, is there any part of you that would like to see the stadium modernise at all? Or does the traditional route still ring strong for you?
No, the traditional route's still there. Maybe through time, on the far side, it's uncovered. I would like to see maybe a roof go over that, because I think if there's a roof over there, there's a segregation fence between our fans and the away fans. There's this huge, big segregation fence. Mm. I think if you put a roof on top of that, you know, I think the atmosphere would be good in there as well, especially if we're shooting down, you know, the bottom end, which is known as the railway end. I wouldn't really change Somerset much. I'm sure maybe one new owner might have one or two ideas, but I don't think he would want to change it too much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there we go. I have to ask. It'd just be wrong of me not to.
I'm sure if you asked maybe another 10 Air fans, they'd probably tell you different, you know, you probably get 10 different things they want to change about Somerset.
Yeah, maybe
somebody want to keep it.
Yeah, it's one of those. I mean, I've been hearing stories about it for many years. It's post-COVID, Scotland's top of my hit list for a football tour, and I can't wait to go visit a number of the grounds around Scotland. They really are some great ones. Mixed in with some of these new ones, which personally I'm not a fan of either. But now, Scott, I've got to say, I always do a little bit of back reading before I record an episode.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to read that Ayr are the only club in professional football that was formed out of the merger of two other professional clubs in Scotland. It was one of those bizarre sort of quiz questions that caught me on the hoop there, just a little bit. But I mean, Ayr just from a personal sort of family connection, it's one of those clubs that has always been there or thereabouts, but even in my lifetime has never appeared in the SPL. Now, what is the, you know, sort of the history of the club? You know, what has been the success stories of the club over the years?
Well, as you say, the two league clubs joined together. The Old Air FC, who played at Somerset, and Ayr Parkhouse played at Beresford Park, which is situated at the top of the town, but obviously no longer there now. Mm-hmm. It's now a Matalan and a sports director, that was. but it was that was before, you know, there was other things there before that. I think it was an ice rink there as well at some time, at some point. And I think it was a supermarket. I'm not 100% sure on that one. But no, it is. The history, really, you know, it's, I was brought up an Ayr fan. Most of my family, you know, my dad used to take me when I was young to games, and that's how I kind of got into it. And my son goes now and again. I've took my son into it as well now. But he works on a Saturday, etc. So he doesn't get as much as he would like to go, sort of thing. But no, our history, probably our most famous manager is Ali McLeod. Mm-hmm. He came to Ayr kind of mid-60s and sort of transformed the club. When Ali came, I think they were sort of sitting bottom in the Scottish leagues, the old second division, which would be League Two now. And I think Ali's transformation then made it into the sort of late 60s, early 70s, is what the teams that my dad told me about, you know, sort of halcyon days of Ayr. Mm-hmm. You know, when they got into the old First Division, which is now the Premier League, or the Premiership, and they got to Cup semi-finals. They had a cracking team. They had Davy Stewart that went to Leeds United, played in the European Cup final, I think it was 1975 for Leeds. They had Dick Malone, who won the European Cup, the FA Cup with Sunderland, 1973. Mm-hmm. And then they got into the brand new Premier League in 1975, stayed there for 3 years, and then got relegated in 78. And between 78 and now, they've been faltering. They've been going between the Championship and League One. They've came close a few times getting back into the Premiership. But 1999, 2000, we came close to it. But then we wouldn't have been allowed in any if we'd won the league, because Somerset wasn't all seated at that time. We all had, you know, sort of 1,200 seats, 1,500 seats for the stand. But no, we've won a few second division championships, got to our first cup final in 2002 against Rangers. We lost the game 4-0, but it was still a cracking day out to get to your first cup final. And, you know, supporting theirs, as I say, it's my local team. I couldn't support anybody else, and it's like I've heard a few earlier podcasts about saying there's buses that go, you know, leave, mm-hmm. you know, places in Ayr that go up the road to Glasgow and watch the other two, you know, the sort of bigger two teams in Glasgow, and that kind of angers you a bit, I think, like everybody else, you know, but there's nothing else, you know, there's not much you can do about that. But no, I mean, well, hopefully one day we might win something in my lifetime, something major. And I'll be able to say, you know, I was there, sort of thing.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, and there is nothing better than supporting your hometown thing.
Yeah, that's it.
Really is to see that identity, that bond between the team and the community, and the success that a club can bring. I mean, you touched upon there, you know, buses going off up the motorway, 35 miles or so, I've learned today, to Glasgow. Are those buses plentiful? Or, you know, how does, you know, as a town, how does it, you know, relate to the club? Is there a good bond there?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the bond between the club and the town is a lot better than I think it used to be years ago. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that obviously, we'll touch on it later on, the youth academy do about the town. A lot of the commercial manager, Graham, does a lot of things as well. He's come in the last few years and done a lot of things as well about the town, get a lot of local businesses, promote it, you know, a lot of advertising boards all around the stadium.
Right, Graham who? Give him a shout out.
Graham Miller.
Graham Miller, okay.
Yeah. He's a big Ayr fan. He was always a big Ayr fan anyway, Graham. But no, it's absolutely, you know, the work that Graham does and everyone else at the club behind the scenes, a lot of people don't see what actually goes on. Mm-hmm. It's sort of Monday to Friday, you know, what everybody does at the club. They think they just turn up on a Saturday at 2:30 and watch your team play. But, you know, there's sort of unsung heroes behind that as well. But no, going back to that, there is a lot of, you see a lot of more young kids nowadays running about with the A-United tops on and A-United tracksuits, etc. Where maybe a few years ago it was, you know, Celtic, Rangers, Barcelona, Real Madrid, you know, other sort of clubs like that. But now there's a lot more kids running about with their stuff on, which is absolutely brilliant to see, you know, sort of fans of the future.
And it's, for me, it's down to the club as well, you know, if the club making these things accessible and available too.
Yeah, that's it.
So you mentioned there about the youth team being involved in the town. Do you want to sort of expand on that a bit?
Yeah, that's the A-United Youth Academy. That was set up in 2005 by our old owner and chairman Lachlan. They go around and do a lot of things for the community. We've got youth teams we've got girls and women's teams as well, from age under 11s right through to adults. On the girls' side and the men's side, it's under 11s through to under 18s, under 19s. During the summer, they'll do their summer camps, their Easter camps, Christmas camps. Obviously, not just now, obviously, because of COVID. They'll do like football Mary's things in the hospitality suite, where it's like to do with Alzheimer's. They'll invite people coming in, and they'll get old players coming in and talking about stories about, you know, from, you know, yesteryear. And oh, there's a few of them. Got about, I think, a few clubs do that. They've got walking football as well. Football fans in training, which I did a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I did that. You go for 12 weeks to the club, and it's one night a week for a couple of hours, and they make you run up and down the terrace and then get fit, and then you go and play walking football, which is actually harder than you think it is, because the first couple of times I tended to run for it. If somebody passed me the ball, it's just a sort of normal, you know, you just bust a speed to go and get it, but you've got to remember you know you're walking. The club do, you know, the youth academy do a very lot of, you know, an awful lot of good stuff within the community. They go to local schools as well. Mm-hmm. Last season, we had a local school come in and help out with the ball persons. You know, a chance to be a ball person for a few games. You know, they sort of picked a few people and they came to be a ball person for the games, obviously, before, you know, this all kicked in. And, yeah, you know, they're doing an absolute brilliant job. So, you know, long may that continue. Obviously, this season, they've not had the chance to do much due to, obviously, you know, COVID. I think at Christmas here, they normally have a Christmas lunch for a few people. But what they did, they got, you know, sort of hampers and that and just delivered, you know, went around, got a few of the players and that, get around and, you know,
that's
delivered
brilliant,
stuff to them.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, so, no, there is a lot more now to the community. You know, with a link up between the community and the club, and there probably was a good few years ago.
It was Jamie Sweeney at Stenhouse. He was telling me Scottish football, there are community grants available for clubs to do these activities. I think is absolutely wonderful. I'd love to see it take place, you know, on a more global scale. I think it's brilliant what the clubs are doing. It seems they're following in those footsteps.
Well, yeah, they are.
I've got to take it in another direction, though, now, because
yep.
I'm going to forget his name. I'm sure you'll remind me now, Scott. But way back when, back in 2020, when I was at Airdrie, we were discussing problems with club badges and club crests and things. Who is it? The Lord what?
The Lord Lion.
The Lord Lion, that's it. Yes. He's reared his head again, hasn't he?
Yes. Up until 2016, I'd never even heard of Lord Lion, to be perfectly honest with you.
I hadn't until 2020. He's a COVID phenomenon for me.
I actually had to, when you sent me the questions through and you were talking about the club badge, I actually had to Google them again and just write down a couple of things exactly to make sure I knew exactly what I was talking about. Yeah, it was Lord Lions Society of Scotland, the registered coat of arms, which apparently has been going since King Charles II. Mm-hmm. And going back to 2016, our badge, our iconic badge we've had for years, someone, we don't know who, we were told it was a rival club, a fan from a rival club complained about our badge having a shield in it and the salt tyre. So what happened was the club obviously had to change their badge. There was talk about taking it to court, etc., but probably no chance of winning it. Mm-hmm. So, and seemingly it wasn't registered either. Our coat arms wasn't, or our badge wasn't registered with the mysterious Lord Lion. So in 2016, 2017, they got a brand new badge. Double check, obviously they've checked everything with Lord Lion, and it was a go. They asked fans to put in designs, and I think it was the directors picked our present badge, our winning badge out by fans, and that's the one we've got now. But as I say, I honestly don't know why, you know, I know about Airdrie as well. I think they had to change their badge. And I believe Kilmarnock at that time, somebody said Kilmarnock had to change their badge as well, slightly due to Lord Lion a few years ago. But, you know, I mean, nobody knows who the guy is or who he's hiding behind. But touch wood, everything's okay now with the badge and everything. So that's the main thing.
It's quite scary, isn't it, really?
It is when you think about it. Yeah. You know, it really is. I mean, having something registered from, like, King Charles II, you know, a few hundred odd years ago, you just don't know. And nobody bothered until, you know, maybe early 2016.
And something rears its head, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah, that's it.
Every lore of yesteryear can pop up, and God knows
Everybody had family coat arms, I think, were double checking as well, just to make sure that they weren't get told the Lord Lion to change their sauce, you know, change their coat, their family coat arms, etc.
Oh, it's you have to giggle now, I think. Childish giggling with this one, because it. The thought of a Lord Lion roaming around with his lion's head saying, you can't have this and you can't have that.
I believe he's based in Edinburgh. Well, that's where the offices are in Edinburgh, but I don't know where the actual Lord Lion resides.
In a castle somewhere, no doubt.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Bringing it back to, like, obviously the badge issue is a club issue, but shall we say more pressing stuff. How does the club interact with the supporters? Is there a good relationship there? Is the supporter voice heard amongst the club, or is it?
There is. Yeah, we've got Jamie Garrett, who's our supporters liaison officer. I've known Jamie for years. He's a diehard Air fan. Mm-hmm. So he's got that job. We have got also the usual social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. We've also recently started in January Black and White TV, which is free until the end of this month, and then I think it's going to be $5.99 a month. All this stuff, all highlights and interviews were on YouTube, but now it's all went to Black and White TV. It's another sort of revenue for the club. where they have an interview with the players, the manager before the game, after the game. On a Thursday, the interview, the assistant manager, Mick McArdle, gives his thoughts for the week, and if there's any injuries, any updates, and obviously his thoughts on the game on the Saturday, etc., and if we're played midweek. So that's just recently kicked in just now. So that's starting to kind of look quite good. Some of the content on it's pretty, you know, pretty good. It also shows you now the whole highlight. There's the whole full games. You can go back and watch the whole 90 minutes on a game on a Sunday. Obviously, just the home games, obviously.
Yeah.
Or you can just dabble into the sort of 10, 15 minutes worth of highlights if you can't be bothered sitting for an hour and a half watching the whole game.
Depends on the performance.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Let's be honest. How's the streaming been going there with
It's been going okay from what I'm led to believe. There's been one or two issues, obviously, you know, like everything, because every club in Scotland this year, is obviously, it's a new thing. And there was always going to be problems with it. But, you know, I think ours is getting there. I know two or three of the guys that do it all voluntary, you know, mostly. The thing at Ayres level as well, most of the club, I mean, I do the PA voluntary. There's a few other guys that do a lot of stuff behind the scenes, all voluntary as well. So, you know, there's a lot of volunteers, not just, you know, that's take up most of the week, you know, maybe getting stuff set up for the games on a Saturday, etc. But no, the streaming seems to be going okay, Adam. We charge $12.50 a game, which is quite cheap compared to Hearts. They charge almost £20 for a live stream. So a season ticket holders get it for free, you know, if you've got a season ticket holder, you know, they get it for free, but it's open to home fans and away fans as well. You know, you can get you can just pay your $12.50, you get an access code and you just put that in. I think it's about half an hour before kickoff, and it's like half an hour, 15 minutes, half an hour, and you get a pre-match thing and then you get a game. You get the first 45 minutes, and there's a half time show with interview of either a player or a member of the youth academy or a former player comes sometimes and, you know, gets an interview there and show the second half, and then do a wee bit at the end. And that's
good. Good value.
Yeah, it is.
Provides a vital revenue stream for all clubs as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's it, especially at the moment, you know, because obviously clubs aren't getting a lot of money in due to the other, you know, obviously when they're getting the fan, you know, the gate money in every second week.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we mentioned it briefly earlier on, but sure, that's probably a good time to ask you, you know, how has the club adapted to these times? What the, you know, been the pressing difficulties? And let's celebrate what you think the biggest successes have been as well.
I think the club, they've done well. To get, considering, you know, nobody knew at the end of March when the season, or the end of March when everyone in the season got told, you know, that was it, finished. I think a lot of people knew at the club, you know, we've got what we call a five-star lottery where people pay in every month, or every week, sorry. So that was bringing money into the club. There was also the AU 500 fund to get in every month. That's where you pay X amount of money. Fans pay in every X amount of money every month for players. That's like players' wages or to sign players in the January transfer window. Mm-hmm. But the club have done very well because we actually make a few good signings. And obviously, I think the directors are putting some money in as well. Plus, we sold a few season tickets. The club shop, obviously, club shop's not open just now due to, obviously, COVID. But the club shop does very well. It's a well-stocked club shop, all the merchandise, etc. So the club have done very well, you know, to keep things going, considering, you know, under the circumstances.
Ah, fair play. It's amazing at times how things have adapted. There's been lots of real creative thinking, and the way people, you know, supporters have got behind the clubs, I think, are brilliant. You really suppose what the, you know, the core belief and the core value the fans have for the club.
That's exactly.
You know, let's It's probably time. Let's have a little bit of a reminisce. You know, what was it? What was it like on a match day when the fans were allowed in? Where the best places to go to get a noise? Shall we say? Where did the noisy lot go?
The nearest pub nowadays is called the Wallace, which is about a 15-minute walk from Somerset. There used to be a few pubs near Somerset, but they closed down. One actually got knocked down and got built into flats years ago. But the nearest one now would be the Wallace. Mm-hmm. It's about a 15-20-minute walk away. I've never been in it. I don't think it's that big. There's also the hospitality suite. You've got supporters can get in there, but they've got to pay a supporters club subscription for a year. You're allowed in there, you get something to eat, but you obviously got to leave about 2:30, 3:00, and then walk around, you know, and get into the ground. Mm-hmm. But that's, I think, it's the Wallace that most of the fans go to. There is pubs in the town, but the town to Somerset's maybe 25 minutes walk, etc.
Okay.
So it's, you know, as I say, but we are getting a new, it's called the Somerset Hub, which hopefully will be getting built sometime this year. It's through, they are getting new offices, a new club shop, and something which we felt was needed at Somerset for years is a social club.
Oh, brilliant.
So, you know, you go to these away grounds and almost every team's got a social club. You know, you sort of clubs in League One, League Two, etc. We've got a wee social club next to the ground where we're finally going to get one eventually, hopefully within the next year.
Oh, well, that's going to be the best place for a band, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be, yeah. Yeah, you like that. A 30-second walk to the, you know, to the ground. You know, just come out and, you know, you're, because I think it's getting built actually in the car park at Somerset. So, you know, sort of ideal, you know, for the fans. And I think the way they're looking at it, it's going to be open probably all the time, maybe a few nights a week. Mm-hmm. Also, the way buses will be leaving from there as well. You know, when the fans do come back, the supporters' buses will be leaving for Somerset, which means it's even better because you can go in for a quick pint before, you know, you go on the bus.
And then you can have a good giggle with your mates, before the away day starts.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. So that's what's happening. That's the only pub I can think of at the moment. I think there's not too very many around, let's say, Somerset.
What about to get a bite to eat?
A bite to eat? Again,
come on, you're on the coast there. There's got to be some good fish.
Oh, there's some. Oh, yeah, there's some cracking restaurants. There's a McDonald's and a KFC and a Burger King. Normally, can.
it doesn't get better than that, does it?
There is a McDonald's actually about 10 minutes walk from Somerset, next to the race course. No, restaurants wise, you know, you've got a nice wee restaurant at the top of the town called the Tudor. Mm. But you've got to book more, especially more at the weekend. You know, Monday to Friday, you could probably walk in. There's a few nice wee restaurants round about, you know. But again, they're in the town. There used to be a couple of sort of near the sort of hotels and bars that used to sell pub food before the game. Before a few years ago, before they obviously get closed or knocked down, etc. But no, I would say the Tudor's a nice wee place to go to. Trying to think offhand where else. There is, obviously, as you say, your Subways and, you know, Burger Kings, yeah. McDonald's, etc. If you just fancy, you know, a sort of cheeseburger sandwich, etc. That's like if you don't fancy sitting down, you know, having a sort of full course or slap up meal.
But if it's the wall. I didn't realise, of course, that Somerset was so far out of the centre. It's,
yeah, it's a good, I'd say maybe about a 15-minute walk from the town centre. Mm-hmm. But hopefully with this Somerset Hub, you know, they'll probably be able to sell food in there as well. And, yeah, you know, maybe like a pie, you know, pie and chips, or, you know, some, maybe cheeseburgers and chips, etc. You know, sort of something just to sort of, you know, kind of.
You've got
to
have a cheeky curry on the go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's it.
To ask you there, Scott, though, you mentioned about the race course, and hands up, it slipped my mind. Do you have any link-ups between the club and the race course?
Now and again we do. I forget the guy's title now, Ian Ferguson. He's got something to do with the race course. I think he's sort of chief executive. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but he's a big Ayr fan. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, if we've got big, the last time we played Rangers a couple of years ago in the Scottish Cup, the race course allowed us to use their car park. There's an overspill car park, mm-hmm. For like supporters, buses, etc. But they do a couple of things with the race course. I can't think offhand exactly. There's been a couple of sort of things I've done with the race course, but I'm not 100% sure exactly. But I think we've got a good relationship with him, obviously, through Ian, with him being a big Ayr fan as well.
Yeah, oh, that's nice. That's nice. Now, you mentioned there beforehand about away days. Which of the ones, if you had to pick two or three, which are the ones that you look forward to? It doesn't have to be clubs in the league that are in your league now, but ones that you've been to and maybe you look forward to in the club.
Obviously, Ambrose, a pretty good away day. Despite the 2.5-3 hour journey,
it is a trek, isn't it?
And it's pretty cold, even in the summer. Ambrose, Alloa is a pretty good away day as well. Although they're not in our league anymore, I quite like going to Stranraer, which is like 50 miles south of us. That was always it's quite a good away day. Morton's actually pretty good as well.
Not too far from you, is it?
Yeah, it's only about an hour and a bit up the road, so it's not too bad. There's only one pub, though, right next to the Norseman. The Norseman. I don't know about any other pubs near there, but, that's the one most of the way fans, sort of, when they get there, go into at Morton. But no, I would say those, Ambrose, Alloa, Stranraer, and Morton. They're kind of four kind of favourite. Sort of weird days at the moment.
I've got to ask you, because you mentioned about Kieran's interview earlier. Now, you'll know that you mentioned about the pies at Alloa. Are they as good as what he made out them to be?
Oh, the pie roll, yes.
They are. Okay. Yeah. Well, we've had the Way fans now tell us it's as good as the Moon fans said.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, they are. They are good.
Oh, well, that's good to know. It pushes Alaba a little further up my list as well.
Yeah, it does.
I have to say.
And if you don't like pie rolls, there's a KFC directly behind the ground at Alaba. Ah. So you can always go in there if you want.
Definitely. And I have to confess to being a bit of a KFC fan myself. Right, before we go there.
Yeah.
Here's your chance. We all want this, we want supporters in the ground as soon as possible. We all want to be in the grounds ourselves. Now, people coming to Scotland, coming to Ayr.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, in a summary, what can they expect from a trip to Somerset?
Atmosphere, good, an old iconic ground, which you probably don't see much nowadays. Especially if you get in the Somerset Road end, they'll get a cracking atmosphere in there. You're virtually right next to the players, near enough. Obviously, just now you can hear everything that's been said, but when there's crowds in, you're virtually right next to, the players. The players aren't like some of these stadiums miles away from you. All the players are sort of near enough, sort of standing next to you, especially if they're taking a throw in, etc. Now, anybody that comes to Somerset, I'm more than welcome. And hopefully people who do come to Somerset will enjoy it.
I hope so too. I really do. Scott, it's been great to have a chat with you today. It really has.
No problem at all. Thanks a lot for inviting me on.
Oh, absolute pleasure. We're looking forward to it coming to Ayr ourselves as well. It's one of those that we right up there at the top of the list for girls, not just alphabetically, I should add as well.
And once you come to Summit, once this is over, you just give us a shout and you can come to Somerset and we'll grab a bite to eat, etc. And we'll go bang some to the road end.
Definitely. Well, I'm waiting for the hub to be open now as well.
Yeah.
I'll be there, ready to go. People listening to this, if they want to follow you at all on social media, is there anywhere where they can do that?
Yeah, just 2 seconds, because I actually forget my... I'm on Facebook, it's Scott Kirkpatrick. On Twitter, I am at... I should have actually remembered all this. I am at SKAir100.
There we go. We'll put it in the bios for everyone as well. Well, like I say,
thanks a lot,
Scott. It's been great today. I've really enjoyed it.
And, no problem at all.
Wish you the best for the rest of the season. I hope the team.
Thank you, and good luck with the rest of the podcast.
Fingers crossed. Got another, what is it, another 20 to go or something like that now. I do lose count. But that's another one for us today, everyone. Of course, I'm Adam. You can follow me on OprahFoot24 across the social medias. We're just as good old Adam Pate, myself, on LinkedIn. This has been the 22nd episode of our Welcome to Scotland series. And till next time, everyone, take care and stay safe.